So the topic for this morning is the definition of das. What qualifies as a shota, as a lack of das? So it starts with the Gemara in Chagiga here on source 1. Tanu Rabbanan eza hu shota. So who is a shota? Hayotze yichidi balayla. So someone who goes out alone at night. V'haron beveis hakvaros. Someone who sleeps in a cemetery. V'hamekareyat ksuso. Someone who tears up his clothing. Itmar. Rav Huna Amar Adshiu Kulon Bibas Achas. So Rav Huna says it has to be that the person is doing all three of these things. Going out alone at night, sleeping in a cemetery, tearing up his clothing. When he does all three of them, then he's a shote. And Rav Yochanan Amar Afilu Ba'achas Mehen. Rav Yochanan says, even if he's just doing one of them, he's a shote. So Hechi Dami. So what's the case? How exactly, in what manner is the person doing these things in? So Ida Avet Luhu Derech Shtos, if he's doing them in a way that's totally unexplainable, it's Derech Shtos. So Afilu B'chad Anami. So then for sure everyone should agree, even Rav Huna should agree to Rav Yochanan, that just doing one of these things, B'Derech Shtos, should make a person a Shota. And Ida Lo Avet Luhu Derech Shtos, if he's not doing it B'Derech Shtos, if it can be explained why he's doing it, so Afilu Kulhu Nami Lo, even if he's doing all three of these things, so we should not consider him to be a Shota. So the Gemara answers, La'olam deka'avir lehu derech shtos. Really, he's doing them derech shtos. It seems like we can't explain them, but we sort of can explain each one independently. V'haron beveis hakvaros, a person who's sleeping in a cemetery, emor kadesh atishra lav ruach tuma hu deka'avir. Maybe he's doing it because he wants, I don't know, to connect with these, whatever these powers are, the ruach tuma. So he has a reason why he's doing it. He's not just doing it because he's a shota. It might not be such a good idea, but there's basis for what he's doing. Vayotze yechidi b'layla, a person who goes out at night alone. So emor gandripas achte. Maybe he was taken over by gandripas. So Rashi here in source 2 explains what this is. Hayotze yechidi b'layla emor gandripas achte. Ani shamati choli ha'o. So some type of illness which takes hold of a person out of worry. And Rashi says, it seems to me, that he's, the person is warm, so he goes out for some fresh air. So if a person is only doing one of these things, so each one can be explained. Sleeping in a cemetery, maybe he wants to connect with the Ruchos Atoma. If a person's going out at night alone, so maybe this he's overtaken by Gandripas, either an illness because of worry. Right. And by the way, it's interesting on that we're using, that these are all explanations for why the person would not be a Shota. Right? And the explanation of Gandripas, where Rashi says a choli ha'oches mitoch daga, sounds like it's something which is some type of mental issue that the person has. It's a choli which has taken hold of him because of daga. It must be a pretty severe level of daga which has caused, you know, him to become ill.
It's anxiety.
Okay. So, and nonetheless, right, that's not considered to be a shota.
Not a shota for having a panic attack.
No, they're right. Just the opposite. Look over the world around you.
Fine. V'hamekarei asksuso, a person who tears his clothing, the Gemara says back in source 1, emor ba'al machshavotu. So perhaps he's a ba'al machshavos. So I was looking for a definition of ba'al machshavos. I didn't find an exact definition, but what's interesting to note is that we're saying that the person is doing this derech shtos. He's tearing up his clothing, b'derech shtos, and he's not a shota because maybe he's not doing it derech shtos because he's a shota. He's doing it because he's a ba'al machshavos. So ba'al machshavos also sounds like there's some type of mental thing going on. What?
Distracted.
I guess that's a possibility.
Introspective.
I guess that's a possibility. But why would introspective cause him to tear up his clothing?
Absent-minded professor.
I understand that he's thinking so much he doesn't realize his clothing are ripping. Where's the Gemara where
the person
his hand is bleeding?
Like the person who sits there with a styrofoam cup and he's, you know, tearing away at the cup, not Shabbos. During the week. That's not the,
you could still be doing it on Shabbos.
No, but that's not the point. The point is he's just sitting there, he's, you know, playing around with stuff while he's while his mind is elsewhere.
Yeah, I hear. So either way though, I think that both Baal Machshavos and Rashi's first explanation of Gandripas are talking about cases where a person, you know, has, you know, something going on in their minds which is causing them to do something which, you know, I guess otherwise doesn't make sense, and they're not considered to be a shota. So even a person who has some type of issue mentally is not necessarily going to be a shota. So kevan davdinu, but the Gemara says kevan davdinu rekuhu. Once a person does all three of these things, havaluhu kamisha nagach shor chamar v'gamal. Then just to use an example, it's like an axe that gores three different types of animals: an axe, a donkey, and a camel. V'nasa muad rakol. And just like in our example, right, if an axe gores three different types of animals, it's considered a muad to gore all types of animals. Yes.
Yeah, but this is different than that because here we had an answer for each of them. So the fact that we still got three answers.
But it's unlikely, I mean, each answer is unlikely, and we say that it's a possibility for one, but once you see all three, meaning in theory, by the case of the axe also, if you have an axe that gores an axe, a donkey, and a camel,
so.
No, you have an answer for each of the three, but you would have to be making three separate assumptions in order to rationalize all the activity you're observing. At a certain point, you say to yourself, you know, it's not these, it's the one answer that unifies all three.
Right. And we find that also by the...
Too many personalities once he gets to becoming also a Ruach Tumah person and also Gandripas and also Balmach Shavos.
Right. And we find that the example holds true that...
That's what I was trying to joke at.
Yeah. The example holds true by the case of the axe, which gores an axe, a donkey, and a camel. In theory, you could say, well, he gores oxen, and he gores donkeys, and he gores camels, and he happens to gore all three, but who says he's going to gore, I don't know, what, chickens? But we say that since this axe gores all three, we consider him to be muad rakol.
Activity, whereas these are different activities.
These are all
here it's the same activity, it's different.
These are all thinking about things that are unstabilized or destabilized.
Fine. So
I don't say if he did Belila, is that because he's putting himself in danger?
It could be. I think they say that by the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, that a person who's Yotzi Yechidi Balayla, Umefane Ribo Revatala, right, is not learning, so Hareza Mischayev Benafsho, I think. I forgot the exact question of the Mishnah.
It does,
so we say there. But one of the explanations there is that he's putting himself in danger. So it is something which Chazal viewed as something, you know, dangerous.
Sakim or Kedushin, right, they have about someone's Osik in mitzvahs. He's protected from danger. One of the things going out at night, I think, is one of the examples.
No, they say two things. They say, yes, Shulchei Mitzvah and Yizokin, but if you put yourself in a Makam Sakana, then that protection will not work for you. So the person is putting himself in danger. He's putting himself in danger by running around the, you know, at night. Keep in mind, you don't have electric lighting,
and,
right? And you are vulnerable to robbers. Yeah.
So is that any type of danger, though, you put yourself in?
Well, in some cases, I hear the question, in some cases you're allowed to put yourself in danger. Like, for example, we say that a worker has to be paid on time, right? Because ve'elavu noseyas nafsho, he's climbing a tree.
Right.
You know, so there are cases where you can put yourself in danger. I guess I don't know the degree of danger of what he's doing
here.
But I understand the question. I mean, the question is,
like, unnecessary danger, like bungee jumping or driving the car.
His question really is, can you extrapolate from these? Are these just examples, or are they just...
So we're going to get to whether or not you can extrapolate from these cases to other examples of, you know, something which is done, which, you know, might be viewed as crazy, whether that can apply, and that we're going to see later on, whether that can apply to someone who puts themselves in a situation of danger, let's say, for the sake of fun. So I don't know if anyone would say that it's unreasonable what they're doing, but the question would then be, nonetheless, if they're putting themselves in danger, is that inherently considered to make a person a shota? I mean, we're going to see later that other examples, even though there are only three examples, you know, that we've seen so far, we're going to see later that other examples of things which are done, you know, derech shtos, can also make a person a shota. But I don't know if a person putting themselves in danger would necessarily qualify with regard to that, because a person may do something that is dangerous, but they're doing it for fun. It's not because they're a shota, unless you say that just inherently doing something dangerous makes you a shota. But it seems like if a person has a reason, unlike here, if all he's doing is going outside at night and his reason is gandripa sachtei, so if it's just that wouldn't make him a shota, because we would say gandripa sachtei. So too we could say, well, he's doing this which is dangerous because he finds it to be fun, or something like that. I'm not saying it would be recommended, but it might not make him a shota.
How would you translate shota?
I guess that's what the topic of this year is.
No, but in a word,
shota, by definition, and certainly as it's being used here, is insane. Meaning it's a legal definition, it's not a medical definition. Yeah.
Right.
Fine. So so continuing in the Gemara here in source one, Amar Rav Papa, Ishmirei Rav Huna Haditanya, Rav Huna, who said that you have to do all three of these to be considered a shota, if he would have heard the following brisa, which says, Ezehu shota, who's a shota, Zeha ma'abed kol ma'ashenos nimlo. It's a person who loses everything that you give him. So have a hadar bay, then he would have retracted, because this brisa says that just doing one thing, losing everything that you're given, is enough to make a person a shota. So if he would have heard that, he would have retracted, and he would have said that just one thing is enough to make a person a shota. So the Gemara asks, Ibayalahu, ki have a hadar bay, mi mikareyak suso, who da have a hadar bay? Would he only have retracted from the case of mikareyak suso when a person tears their clothing? And he would have said, just like a person who loses everything that he's given, who loses his property, is considered to be a shota, so too someone who tears his clothing, which is, the Gemara says, the dam yalaha, which is comparable, and that a person is ruining their property. So then Rav Huna would have agreed that in that case, a person who's mikareyak suso is a shota. But the other two examples, Yotze Yechidi Baraila and Ron Beveis HaKvaros, Rav Huna would still stand by what he said, that just doing one of them does not make a person a shota. Or Dilma Miku who have a hadar. Or perhaps he would have retracted from everything and he would have said that that even Yotze Yechidi Baraila or Haran Beveis HaKvaros, each one just done independently, he would have agreed would make a person a shota. And Tosfos just here in source 3 explains that sad, Odilma Mikuhu, Miyaminan de Keva de Mikareya de Dami Rahai Hoderbei, since he would have retracted from the case of Mikareya's Ksuso and would have agreed that just that alone is enough to make a person a Shota, so Gamwe Inach de Choshev Bahade Mikareya Hoderbei. Maybe he would have retracted from the other two just because they're together in the same list. Odilma Mehai Lechude, so logically he's only forced, so to speak, to back out from Mikareya's Ksuso, but perhaps since all three of them are lumped together in this list, that would make the person a Shota, yes.
Would you say that Amabe Komash Noisnoi, the word kol, is very important in that idea? Because the others are sort of more specific. Here it's like everything.
Right, I think that is significant. I was going to point that out later because we're going to see later that there's a machlokes about how often a person has to do these things. You know, and from this example, Kama'abed kol ma'ashenos nimlo, it sounds like it's certainly something which is consistent. You know, throughout the course of his life, he's just losing everything that he's given.
Right.
So yeah, I think that is relevant. I'm not sure that all the Makoros are going to agree with us, but that's what I would think from the Gemara, yeah.
Is Ma'abed lost or destroyed?
Well, we're going to see the definition of Ma'abed ma'ashenos nimlo, and it seems like it's going to be lost.
Okay.
Yeah, but I hear how that could be read either way. Right. Fine. So in terms of this machlokas between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan, so how do we paskin? So the Rush here says in source 4, the Rush here is in Chulin on the topic of Shechita, right? A Shota is not supposed to Shecht, or at least if he's alone, he's not supposed to Shecht. So the Rush says, Shota mefarish bechagiga, hayotze yechidi v'raira, v'aron beveis ha'kvaros, v'mekarei ha'ksuso, v'tanya izeh u'shota zeh ha'ma'abid kol ma'ashenos nimlo, v'kamer Rabbi Yochanan afiru be'echad mehen, v'hudika aved derach shtos, v'chein ha'racha. So the Rush paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, if a person does just one of these things, that's enough for them to be qualified as a Shota. The Beis Yosef brings this rush and just explains why we pass in like Rabbi Yochanan. Umasha kasav zeh ushota parakam de chagiga minanei zeh ushota yotzi yichidi baraila varan beveis akvaros vamravuna chukulan vasachas Rabbi Yochanan amrafiru baachas mehen. And then he says, Rabbi Yochanan kaimaran de hilchasa kevasei regabe Rav. We know that when there's a machokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, so we pass in like Rabbi Yochanan. And who was Rav? Rav was the rabbi de Rav Huna, who Rav was Rav Huna's rabbi. So we would pass in like Rabbi Yochanan against Rav. So vakosha kein regabe Rav Huna. So certainly we're going to pass in like Rabbi Yochanan against Rav Huna, v'chein pasak harash b'reish chulin, fine. And the v'nizbar sham the davka with the avad l'aderach shtos. So the Beis Yosef says that the reason why we pass in like Rabbi Yochanan is because kolei hapsak, Rabbi Yochanan versus Rav, Rabbi Yochanan wins. Rav was Rav Huna's rebbe, so certainly we're going to pass in like Rabbi Yochanan. I mean, just from the Gemara that we saw, there could be other reasons to pass in like Rabbi Yochanan also, that Rav Huna perhaps retracted his shita when it came to one of the examples, and the Gemara has a possibility that he retracted his shita about the other examples also. So, you know, I could have heard just saying we pass in like Rabbi Yochanan because Rav Huna, you know, gave in, changed his mind, but either way, the reason why the Beis Yosef says we pass in like Rabbi Yochanan is because of Kalei Hapsak, that, you know, the halacha is like the Rebbe rather than the Talmud, and certainly Rabbi Yochanan, who would win, so to speak, in a machlokas with Rav, who is Rav Huna's Rebbe.
Interesting, because Rabbi Yochanan was a Tana, he was a Moira, so as many times you say that they were aware of all the various things, and they were able to distill the information and come up with a psak halacha.
Right. So the general principle you're pointing out of Hilchos Akivas Roi, so I was actually looking for this when I made the source sheet. I think there's a Tosis in Ave Psachim, but I was not able to find it. But it definitely says somewhere that Hilchos Akivas Roi only applies to the much later generations of Amoraim. But in earlier, you know, stages, by the early Amoraim, Rabbi Yochanan, who I guess you could either view as a Tana or an Amora, right? We say Rav Tana Hupali, but we normally consider him to be an Amora, and Rabbi Yochanan was his contemporary. But at that stage of the early Amoraim, we would not say Hilchos Akivas Roi. But I guess you could still ask the question, why? Meaning, if the idea behind Hilchos Akivas Roi is that they had all the information in front of them, so why wouldn't that apply by an earlier generation? I'm not sure. But either way, we definitely have that principle that Hilchos Akivas Roi only applies by the later Amoraim. I thought it was a Tosis Narvis Psachim, but I couldn't find it, and my Bar Ilan couldn't find it there either. So, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure where it is, but it definitely exists. Fine. So this last Beis Yosef was taking the sugya in Chagiga, which is talking about the definition of a shota for mitzvos in general, and it was applying it to Hilchos Eidos. This Beis Yosef is in Choshen Mishpat, Simon Lamed Hei, and Hilchos Eidos. So there we see an extrapolation from the definition of a shota by mitzvos, the definition of a shota by Eidos, and we're going to see later on additional definitions of a shota by Eidos. And we could wonder whether or not we could take those definitions of a shota by Eidos and apply them to the definition of a shota by mitzvos in general. So can we do that? Can we compare the definition of a shota by mitzvos and by Eidos? The Beis Yosef does it in one direction, and we could be curious if we could do it in the other direction as well. So the Rambam says here in Source 6, Hashota pasul Eidos min haTorah, Rafisha Eino ben mitzvos. So the reason why a shota is pasul ha'edos, according to the Rambam, is because he's not mitzuv en mitzvos, and since he's not mitzuv en mitzvos, he's pasul ha'edos. Why is that? What's the connection? So we'll get to that in a minute. The Beis Yosef argues on the Rambam, and the Beis Yosef says here in Source 7, shota pasul ha'ed, ze pashut tekevan zalav bardasu lo samchina nasa haduse. So it just makes a lot of sense. If he's not a bardas, how can we rely on his testimony? I mean, that reason just stands strong. You know, it makes a lot of sense not to accept the edus of a shota. Who knows if he's, you know, telling us what he saw? Who knows if he saw what he thinks he saw? So it seems like there's a machokas as to why a shota is pasul ha'edos. Is it a svara? How can we rely on him? He's a shota. Or is it that since he's not a ben mitzvos, he's not included in mitzvos, he's not mitzvah ben mitzvos, so therefore he's also pasul ha'edos. So where do we see this connection between a chiyuv and mitzvos and being pasul ha'edos, and what's perhaps the reason why? So the Gemara says in Gittin here in Source 8, V'chol ha'shtaros ha'ovim be'erkos sh'ovdei kochavim. So shtaros that are in secular courts, so they were signed by Avavishachos Meyan Ovdei Kochavim, they were signed by non-Jews. So ksherin, the shtaros are kosher, chutz mi gitei nashim v'shechurei avodim, except for not if they're gitei nashim and shechurei avodim that are signed by non-Jews, so then they would not be kosher. So, well, what's the reason for this psul? How come if Ovdei Kochavim sign the shtar by gitei nashim and shechurei avodim, it's psul? So Tosvo says here in Gittin, Vafilu Rebbe, in Source 9, Vafilu Rebbe Meir, Drohav Aboy Remifsal Eved Re'edos, Mishum Dechsiv Sheker Anav Achiv, the Eved Achiv Hu B'mitzvos. So Rebbe Meir says that an Eved is not going to be possible, for this reason of the requirement that you be included in mitzvos, right? The pasuk says sheker anav achiv, talking about false witnesses. It says sheker anav achiv. So you see that you can only testify if you're achiv hu b'mitzvos. So Meir says an eved is achiv b'mitzvos. Aval oved kochavim derav achiv hu, but an oved kochavim who's not achiv b'mitzvos, pshita de pasul. So that's why an oved kochavim is pasul ha'edus. V'chevan derav b'nei edus ninu, hayaro'u yafilu ko ashtaros ha'orim erkosh oved kochavim lifsal minat Torah. So if that's the case, not only gitei nashim should be pasul, but all shtaros signed by non-Jews should be pasul because they can't testify because they're not achiv, and the pasuk says sheker anava achiv. So afilu osam omnim l'raya, even shtaros which don't, you know, accomplish a status change but are just standing to serve as a proof, elatakanta derabanan, who it's a takana derabanan that other shtaros other than gittin are going to be kosher if they're signed by non-Jews. Heicha dekimon besadusayu sheu emes tomari nafshayu. If it's a case where we know that we can rely on their testimony, we know that they're telling the truth because they don't want to get themselves in trouble, they don't want to lose whatever position that they have, so we know that they're going to tell the truth. But basically what comes out from this Tosos is that the Pasuk says Sheker Anava Achiv, And we see from there that a person has to be achliv b'mitzvos in order to testify. And the Gemara in Bava Kamma says a similar idea, although without the pasuk there. The Gemara says here in Source 10, Hasya idus b'kal v'chomer me'isha. Uma isha shi ru'uya rava b'kal. It's mutter to marry an isha, that's good, otherwise there'd be problems. So, psula v'edus. Yes, that was a joke. Psula v'edus. So, eved she'ino roi rava b'kal. So an Eved who's not really Lavo B'Kahal, so should certainly be Pasal Eidos. So the Gemara rejects that and says, Mala Isha Shekein Eina Ru'uya Ramila. Tomar Be'Eved Shu Ra'i Ramila. So since an Eved is Ra'i Ramila, maybe an Eved should be Kashal Eidos. So Katan Yochiach Sheyeshno B'Mila U'Pasal Eidos. So a Katan is included in Mila, and he's Pasal Le'Eidos. So Mala Katan Sheino B'Mitzvos. Tomar Be'Eved Shu B'Mitzvos. Maybe since an Eved is Mitzuv and Mitzvos, so he would be Kashal Le'Eidos. So Isha Tochi The common denominator is all three examples, the Isha, the Katan, and the Eved, are not Mitzuva in all the Mitzvos, and they're Pasal Lahayid. So to an Eved who's not Mitzuva in all the Mitzvos, is going to be Pasal Lahayid. An Isha, an Eved, and a Katan are not an Ish. Tomar be'eved shehu ish, but sorry, an isha and a katan are not an ish. Tomar be'eved shehu ish. So elatesi mi gazlan. A gazlan is an ish, and he's pasul. I mal a gazlan shekein masav garmulo. A gazlan is pasul edus because of what he did. He stole. So tomar be'eved shein masav garmulo. Maybe an eved should be kosher because he didn't do anything wrong. Elatesi mi gazlan umeichad mehanach. Learn out a tzara shove from gazlan in either one of the previous examples, an isha or a katan. And Rashi explains the tzara shove. The tzara shove is that they're not. His lashon is she'inam zehirim b'chol hamitzvos. That gazlan is not zahir b'chol hamitzvos. He's a gazlan, and the others, the isha and the katan, are not mitzuve b'chol hamitzvos. So either it's because you know they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, like a gazlan, or they are doing what they're supposed to be doing, and they're not just mitzuve, and they're just not mitzuve like an isha and a katan, but they're not included in chol hamitzvos. So we see from this gemara the connection between. Between Eidos and the Chi of Mitzvos, that only someone who's included in Kol HaMitzvos is going to be Kasher Ha'id, and Tosos brought that from the Pasuk of Sheker Anave Achiv, that false witness who testified falsely against his brother, you see that you have to be Achiv Hu B'Mitzvos. Now Rashi interprets the Gemara in Gittin differently. Rashi says, here in Source 11, Chutz Migitei Nashim, that shtaro sign, that a get signed by non-Jews is not going to be kosher. He says the rab b'nei krisus ninu, because nachrim are not included in the idea of krisus. Horovo shaychi b'toras gitin v'kiddushin, because they don't have the same types of gitin v'kiddushin that we have.
Can you distinguish it also because a commercial contract? So in a week, I can sell you my car and have a written contract or a verbal contract. But the get is more like a legal document, right? It's not just to memorialize our agreement, but it has a legal, it's to give, it has a legal, it has an effect.
Right, it's not just the raya, it causes a status change.
Yeah,
that's the same thing. That's what means she'll shine from the Torah's get in the Kedushin. We have a get because it's because of Lossay for Christmas.
Yeah, it's the same idea, I guess.
So by getting the Kedushin, there's a status change. But it could be that goes beyond just there being a status change. Meaning, let's say you had a case of a status change which a Nachri was somehow included in the parasha of, then maybe he could, in theory, testify. I don't know what an example of that would be offhand, but I think it's going beyond just saying that they can testify when it comes to a status change that's not just serving as a proof. I think it's saying that more than that, that they're not b'nei krisus. They're not connected to this whole parsha of Torah's Gittin v'Kiddushin.
Yeah, that's what Rashi's saying. An
alternative shot to the Gemara.
Yeah.
I hear that. I can't claim that I'm holding this Gemara well enough to,
showing it out there.
Yeah, that could be a potential differentiation.
A commercial document, it's like a halachic type of document. Requirement, right? Which is sort of like Rashi, but just a little beyond Rashi.
Right, I hear that, yeah. So we have to check up the Rishonim there and see if, if that fits through, but I hear that, yeah. So see if we can find someone who says that, or at least not find any reason why not. But, yeah. No, you're not. Fine. So Rashi says, "Chutz migite nashim d'rav v'nei krisus ninu hoel v'lo shaychi b'teras gittin v'kiddushin." That's why the anachri cannot testify and cannot sign a get because he's not b'teras gittin v'kiddushin. And then Rashi says, "Aval al hadine." Well, actually, yeah, we'll read further for now. "Aval al hadine nitzdavu b'nei Noach." Ben Noach can testify, can sign other shtaros, because he is in the parish of other shtaros, because he's mitzuvah and dinin. It's one of the sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. V'chein b'shechrurei avadim, de b'chol b'sura d'orais, ashav ha-shechrur get isha, de gamrinan l'ala. We compare get isha to shechrurei avadim. But this continuation of Rashi, that Nachri, the reason why the Gemara says that a Nachri can sign other shtaros other than Gitei Nashim Shrei Avodim is because they are included in the parasha is interesting, because I guess we'll see one more source and then we'll come back to this point, because I think it just makes it clearer. The Chasam Sofer here in 12, he says that shtaros ha'ogim be'erkah is perish Rashi the rav b'nei krisus ninu, that a Nachri can sign and get because he's not b'nei krisus perish. The kasa v'nasan, the pasuk says, the kasa v'nasan, mishu bao nesinas get, hu bao ksiva. The person who can give a get can also write a get. Lafuke nak and sign a get. Right, v'kasav there is a homachokas, what v'kasav there means, but there's an opinion v'kasav in the Gemara, there's a machokas. V'kasav could mean to sign the get. So a nachri who is not included in the idea of giving a get is also not allowed to be the one to sign the get. So according to Chasam Sofer, Rashi is saying something specific to gittin, that a nachri is not bnei krisus. He's not included in the parasha of gittin, and it's something that's very specific to gittin because it says v'kasav v'nasan, only one who can give a get can write a get. But it's difficult to say that because of the Hemshech of Rashi. That's why I just wanted to see the Chasam Sofer first. The Hemshech of Rashi says that a Nachri can sign onto a different shtar other than a get, because al hadinin nitzavu b'nei Noach. Why do we even need that explanation according to the Chasam Sofer? If the only reason why a Nachri is limited to signing on a get is because he's not in the parish of Krisus and it says because of a Nasan, so then a Nachri could testify by Dinin whether he be in the parish or not in the parish of Dinin, whether Dinin be relevant to him or not, whether he be Mitzuvah in Dine Mamunis or not, he would still be allowed to testify because there's no limitation of a drasha similar to because of a Nasan when it comes to Dine Mamunis. So the fact that Rashi continues that Avar Adinin is Savu B'nai Noach, it sounds that Rashi thinks that the limitation of a Nachri testifying for a get is not something specific to a get because of Gzeras HaKosuv or because of a Nasan. It sounds like Rashi is saying that to testify for anything in general, you have to be in that parsha. You have to be relevant to the thing that you're testifying about. So if we take that back to our discussion, right, why is it, what's the connection between not being included in mitzvos and being allowed to testify? So the Tosfos here, it said, the pasuk, sheker ana v'achiv. You have to be achiv u b'mitzvos in order to testify. According to Rashi, I think it's a different idea. According to Rashi, the idea is that I need to be included in the discussion about what I'm testifying about. I have to be betoras what I'm testifying about. Is it possible that's a time of the krav shekar anava achiv? Perhaps, I don't know, but it's much more than just gzeras hakosuv. It's that you have to be relevant to what you're testifying about. I'm not sure if the reason for that, I guess you want to take it a step deeper, we have to figure out what the reason is behind that. I don't know if that's that we think a person will treat something more seriously, if it's something that they have a personal connection to, if they're in the parish, they'll take it more seriously, maybe. Yeah, you have another?
Well, like in a non-Jew, Just Goresh, that's all, right? There's no, like Goresh Sanas, you know what I mean? There's no, it's like totally not in the Parsha. The whole thing of Gittin with all the rules that we have and the writing and all,
right,
that's a completely different.
Exactly, and that's why they're not considered to be in the parasha for Gittin, even though they have a concept of being married and then their wife, right? But it's not Gittin.
I'm going to get the complete opposite of what Jerry's saying. Going back to what I suggested before, even in secular law, you see that because a husband and wife can't agree to get divorced. They have to get the actual court document. So it's not just a contract. It's a legal document. So it's different than all other stars.
So therefore, what?
Again, that's why the non-Jew is excluded from giving Yibus on a get, because it's not just a shtar, not a commercial document, it's a legal concept, right? Just like a divorce has to be through the court.
I mean, without a divorce decree, they're not divorced.
Yeah.
No matter what the judge said.
Husband and wife can say, okay, now we're divorced, and go on their separate ways.
So you're saying it's a status change by
not even, it's a legal change. Yeah, it's a legal...
category of dinim as opposed to an inherent system of divorce.
I mean, it's still beyond, not getting vikidusha.
It's beyond star, yeah. That's what I'm saying. You do it through a document, but it's beyond just a contract, is what I mean.
Uh-huh.
Different type of...
It's a secular equivalent of a status change.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not just a normal...
What about anybody that were in the parsha? It says, lo yotam kahal Hashem. They can't marry in.
Right.
So would they also not allow them to be an aid on the get?
They're in a Bataris get in Vikidushin.
Oh.
They are Bataris get in Vikidushin.
Well, that's the question.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he's...
They are.
They
with
are
each other.
They are
subject to get
in
Vikidushin.
They are.
Not,
they're
but it's not allowed to marry particular
only,
people.
Well, it's, I guess, a B'dievet type of thing.
No,
it's not a B'dievet.
There is no one who halachically is unable to marry anybody. Meaning, midi'oraisa. Midrabanan, yes.
Oh.
Suffolk Mamzer, midrabanan is stuck. The but even there, we said Ptsuadaka. We gave ways for the Suffolk Mamzer to marry also. But midi'oraisa, everybody can marry someone.
Okay. So everyone's Bataras.
Yeah. That was an interesting question.
Fine. So, yeah. So now that we have established that there's a connection between Eidos and the Chi of Mitzvos, so we can use sources that are interchangeable, which we're going to do for the rest of the rest of this year, because a lot of the discussion of a shota is found in Hilchos Eidos. Fine. So next question: how many times are necessary to qualify as a shota? How many times? So there's Machokes Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan was about how many of these examples does the person have to do, and we pask in like Rabbi Yochanan that a person only has to do one of these examples. How many times do they have to do that example? So you pointed out, Ma'abed kol mashanosnim lo makes it sound like it's something that's happening, you know, again and again and again. And that's the example where everyone agrees just that example is sufficient. So it sounds like that's, you know, a stronger demonstration that a person is a shota. And nonetheless, it seems like it still has to be continuous. So the Beis Yosef says here in source 13, "V'nirari she'ena kavana shebepam achas shiyase echad me'eru derech shtos mikri shote." It's not that a person does one of these things just once, derech shtos, that they become a shote. Ela kishadarko b'kach. It has to be that they're doing it continuously. How does he know that, what's his source for that? V'zeru shakosav harambam zal v'nimseis dato mishubeshes tomin. So emphasis on tomin. It has to be continuous. So let's just follow the train here. The Rambam says, and I think the start of the train is the kol, ma'abed kol mashanos nimlo. The Rambam says, v'nim sadat o mishubesh as tomid, and the Beis Yosef then says, based on that Rambam of tomid, says darko b'kach. Okay? So then the Shach here in source 14 says, kasav ha-Beis Yosef, mechoshen mishpat, zimil ha-min hei, she'ina ha-kavana she'vipam achas she'asa echad me'eru mikri shote, ela k'she darko b'kach ayin sham, v'rotza roma, after ka'ovid derech shtos, kevan dein darko b'kach o'mikri shote. So the Shach is basically just quoting the Beis Yosef, but I wanted to follow the train because of the Prima Gadin. The Prima Gadin says here in source 15, shote ayin shach, so he's quoting the Shach, who quotes the Beis Yosef based on the Rambam, davko darko b'kach, mashma diba'inan trosa zimni o alkoponim tre zimni. Darko b'kach means three times or perhaps two times. Really? Meaning it's based on, it's going back to the Rambam who says tamid. So we keep, ma'abed kol mashanosnim lo becomes tamid, okay, I hear that. Then tamid becomes darko b'kach, then darko b'kach means three times or two times. You know, I think, I don't know, it doesn't seem to be following.
Yeah.
So you could say it's a chazaka, right, that perhaps the halachic hagdara of tamid is three times. I guess if we wanted to be lamdish, we could say the halachic hagdara of tamid is three times.
What
I just feel like it's difficult to say that.
Well, over what period of time? This is ever?
No one limits it to not be ever, which it just seems hard to say. It just seems hard to say.
I mean, if you're taking the chazaka approach, then it's without failure to do so in between.
Uh-huh.
Right?
I hear that, although you need to know when an opportunity presented itself.
Right.
To be, yeah.
No, but it's true. When you say three or maybe two, it does, you know, call up the sugyas about chazaka. Do we do chazaka three times or do we do chazaka twice?
I hear.
But for sure, then an interrupting event, you know, would mean start from scratch.
Right, I hear that. So that would be good. That would save a lot of people from being shotas.
I mean, you gave him an object, or the night went by, and he didn't go wandering around in the streets.
Oh, 3 nights in a row or something.
Right.
Or
so
I mean,
Swarm the Lord is also three times,
or
right?
Every Thursday. Every Thursday.
Whatever. I mean,
yeah.
Plug in the rules of Chazaka.
I mean, the question is how that works with the second half of the Rambam, which talks about sometimes when he's good, sometimes when he's bad. So what would individual moments look like there?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning the Rambam also talks about a case where someone is not permanently a Shota and only sometimes a Shota. How does it work with this three times there of
Shtus?
I hear that question. Not in depth. I mean, it might be on the source sheet. We did see it. But,
you got to go to begin error.
So I was wondering, we're getting ahead. That's in source 21 and 22. I was wondering whether the Shulchan Aruch that I brought here in source 22 is explaining the what he wrote in the Beis Yosef in source 21, whether they're the same idea or different, but we'll get there. Fine. So, yes.
As you point out, this is from Yordea, Yochan Shkita, and he points out this is about being, whether we rely upon Shkita. That may not have an application for every other kind of mitzvahs.
I hear, although we are using them interchangeably because the Beis Yosef in Hilchos Eidos quoted the Rosh in Hilchos Shchita for paskening like Rabbi Yochanan. It means the Rosh in Hilchos Shchita that says we paskening like Rabbi Yochanan that one time makes a person a Shota, and the Beis Yosef brought that in Hilchos Eidos. So it seems like the definition of Shota is in general being used interchangeably.
Not every Bar Das could be a Shota.
That's true. But if a person is a Shota and they're excluded from Shchita because they're a Shota, then the assumption is they're also excluded from Eidos because they're a Shota. Why it has to be that way logically, I'm not sure. You could differentiate the definition.
And also, when there's gradations of Shota, there's like Shota where you're disqualified from Shchita, then there's like, it breaks into like different thresholds even within Shota. Like, you could be a Shota, but not necessarily disqualified.
Right. So logically, I would hear that. Logically, that makes sense. For some reason, it seems like everything's been used interchangeably. Meaning, the Rosh Paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, the Sugya in Chagiga is talking about mitzvos. It's talking about Aliyah L'Regel and defining what that's how the Sugya started, and then it's defining the Chi of mitzvos. Whenever we say that Chayre Shota V'Katan are Pater for mitzvos, so that's the topic there. There's a Machokas of Yochanan and Rav Huna there. The Rush brings it in Hilchos Shchita and Paskins like Rabbi Yochanan. And then the Beis Yosef brings the Rush from Hilchos Shchita and applies it to Eidos. So it seems like they're all being used interchangeably, even though logically I could hear you could have different gradations of a Shota for different contexts.
Is there classifications? They're not Shuga L'Dover Echad?
There is, so, for sure, that classification.
So how does that fit in here?
If a person does just one of these things, meaning I don't know exactly what you mean, but what we're saying here is a person does just...
Otherwise normal.
Right.
But he is Meshuggah L'Dover Echad.
So that would make a person a Shota.
That even though...
I don't know what the original meaning is.
That's meaning that's what we're discussing.
There is a halachic definition that I came across, I don't remember where. The idea of someone being a Shota just for certain mitzvos or a certain area of halacha.
To be pater from just some mitzvot? That's interesting. Okay.
So you need all three, but if someone's a specialist in one...
I mean, the answer is that it's going to also depend a little bit on the category that you said you're mentioning, but you're not planning on going into, which maybe could die at some point for next week. But that's the Idim Chalam, Idim Shota, which is going to be affected by what Jerry's talking about, where you have somebody who goes through periods of incompetence, and so, let's say it's triggered by a particular event. So what's his status during that versus other times? That's some of the classic get cases involve that.
That's not a time thing.
It can be triggered by a particular event.
I was thinking about that for Shoykhid, who has Allah as the Chazro Mo'ala for Shkita once every 30 days. He's eating Shoti Cholim, so he couldn't be a Shoti, he couldn't be a Shoykhid, because some days he's in, some days he's out.
I mean, Shota doesn't mean he forgets. It means he's non-rational.
Okay, fine. So, just continuing this Prima Gadim, because he quotes another opinion that's even more, I guess, machmir, make it, however you want to look at this. V'hatu oshor os memvav pasak kerosh Yosef b'chosh and mishpat simil ramen hei that afyu pam afas derech shtos shchitas zel asura. Even if he just does it once, he does one thing once, but derech shtos, so that already is going to make him a shota and disqualify him from shchita. And then the Prima Gadim continues, v'hei v'raya mitosus chagigai and sham v'nochon l'achmir. The Prima Gadim actually says you should be machmir. A person just does, one thing once, derech shtos, so that already qualifies as a shota. Fine. So next question is, are the only criteria, the four criteria in the Gemara, right? The first three, and then ma'abed kol ma'ase knows them well. Or is there something else which can also make a person a shota? So the Meiri says here in Surah 16, shota ha'omer b'mishnah v'chein b'chol makom v'patar min ha'mitzvos min ha'onshin v'shalo riyos kinyan o'kinyan u'memkar o'memkar u'kol shu muchzak b'shota v'eino roem bo sh'ose, sorry, v'anu roem bo sh'ose eze davar derech shtos. So it's interesting that he seems to say, there seem to be two components to this. The second component to this is that he does eze davar derech shtos, which makes it sound like it's just he does, you know, anything derech shtos. It doesn't have to be, doesn't limit it to the four examples in the Gemara, but he precedes that by saying, kol shu muchzak b'shota. So it seems like, I don't know, people in general assume that this person is a shota. I don't know what exactly, how exactly that's created. Is that, you know, people telling rumors? Is that like what we would call a kol? You know, I'm not sure what exactly that means, but it seems like there's some combination of, yeah, anything that he does, b'derech shtos, eze davar, even if it's not one of these four things, can make him into a shota, but that's provided that he's muchzuk b'shota, however exactly that's created, maybe by a kol.
One test is before, there's sort of a tautological aspect here, and it says muchzuk b'shota, and then he does it derech shtos. We don't know what the first definition is, and we're trying to make it sort of understandable with using the same word again.
I was understanding derech shtos to mean that he doesn't have a logical explanation for why he's doing it. Meaning, in the Gemara in Chagiga, we say when a person does something derech shtos, but only does one of these things, we can explain him away. Gandripas achtei, you know, those examples. So we can explain it away. So the following I'm not sure about, but I was assuming that what we mean to say is he's doing it derech shtos. In other words, we can't see any logical explanation why he's doing it, but if he's if he does only one of them, we'll go out of our way to rationalize and provide the logical explanation. So I had understood that the definition of derech shtos is that there's no clear logical explanation. Afal pikein, if it's only one of the examples, perhaps we'll provide a far, you know, a far out possibility. But I don't know if that's true. That's just how I assumed when I read the Gemara. But fine.
Did we come to a conclusion that if you're pasul eidus because you're a shota, you're also not chayav the mitzvahs?
So I think so, because the reason why, or at least according to the Rambam, who, you know, brings that comparison, that's a good point. I actually meant to say that explicitly, which I didn't. You could say it's a machokas. I was speaking within the Rambam. The Rambam says here in Surah 6 that a shota is pasul eidus because he's not included in mitzvahs. So, you know, if the only reason why he's pasul le'edus is because he's not included in mitzvos, and there's no other reason why he's pasul le'edus, so then if he's pasul le'edus, it must be that he's not included in mitzvos. If there's no other reason why he's pasul le'edus.
That might have enough, I mean, like at the end of the pre-Meganim, so nothing will happen, because he may say, okay, he's pasul le'edus, but he's still chayav the mitzvos, but we're machmer over here, because here he's affecting other people's mitzvos, so here we're machmer, right, because you're relying on his shechita. And the difference whether or not he has to make kiddush Friday night, but, you know, he shouldn't be, you know, something where, which is like Eidus, right? You're affecting someone else by Eidus, right. You're affecting someone by Shechita. So there is that difference.
So I think that goes beyond what I wanted to say, and I think that makes sense. I wanted to say within the Beis Yosef that the Psula Eidus is just based on a Svara, Kevan Rabba Das, Uro Samchina Nasaduse, so it could be more people will be considered a shota to passel them for Eidus, because unless we're absolutely sure that, like, we can trust what they're saying, just take their word on it, you know, we're going to passel them because they might be a Rabba Das to some degree, and, you know, the bar for who's going to become passel, you know, is going to be much lower.
So where are you affecting other people?
Right. So your point, I think you're also, in addition, pointing out a tzeiruf between it could be you're affecting other people regabe mitzvos, which could be, you know, an additional, you know, make the bar even lower then. You know, unless you say, I mean, whatever, Isur and Mamona, we can discuss which one is more chomer in either direction. But yeah, I hear that. So I think this whole comparison between eidos and mitzvos is certainly clear in the Rambam, but within the Beis Yosef, it could be not so fast. Right. Fine. So in terms of continuing with this, is it only these four criteria in the Gemara that make a person a shota? So the Meiri says, no, it could be other things too, provided that the person is muchzak b'shota. So the Rambam says here, source 17, Hashota pasul eidos min haTorah l'visheino ben mitzvos, v'ro shota shu maharech arum u'meshaber kerim v'zorek avonim bilvad. Not only a shota who's absolutely insane, right, who's walking around undressed and breaking objects and throwing stones, not only someone who's reached that extreme, kol mi shenitrefa da'ato v'nimtzeis da'ato mishubeshes tamid b'davar min hadzvarim, afal pi shu medaber v'shoel ke'inyan b'shar dvarim, harei ze apostol u'v'chal shotim yechashev. So even if it's b'davar min hadvarim, it's not one of these four things, it's in other areas. So in other areas, da'ato mishubeshes tamid, that's considered, that makes him into a shote. Now, what I think, the way I think the Rambam understands the Gemara is that there are certain people who are definitely, you know, have reached the extreme of being a shote. Mahalech, arum, mishaber, kerim, zorek, avonim, that's without question a shote. I think what the Rambam is saying is that the Gemara is bringing a rabusa, is bringing a chiddush, that even a person who just does one of these pretty mild things, like going out alone at night, you know, or tearing his shirt or something like that, even that is sufficient to make a person a shota. And the Gemara is teaching us like a chiddush, but certainly someone who is clearly a shota, for sure would be a shota.
Is it maybe saying that you're not talking about actions? He's saying it's like, it's just a, you can analyze if the guy understands it or he's completely confused or something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a distinction.
Mm-hmm. I hear. B'davar min hadzvarim is sort of ambiguous.
Yeah.
Even though he doesn't do anything active, which demonstrates being a shota.
You know that he's out to lunch, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. I hear. I didn't think of that, but I hear within the Rambam that certainly could fit his words. I mean, that would be, I think, a chiddush, meaning then we would be saying that people are, you know, we'd be qualifying people as a shota, defining them as a shota when they haven't done anything which demonstrates shtos. I guess the question
how
we would have to
know
figure
that without them having done anything which
conversation
talk with them.
That's yeah. Doing something.
No, that's
you're saying they can't follow a conversation.
Right. I think the Rambam.
It's an analysis of his condition.
Right. On the one hand, I think the continuation of the Rambam supports that understanding, because the Rambam says, "Afal pi shehu medaber v'shoel ke'inyan b'shar dvarim," even though he can speak and ask, you know, appropriately in other contexts, he's still puzzled, because b'davar min hadvarim, he can't. He can't what? Perhaps, you know, to support your point, he can't be medaber v'shoel ke'inyan. But I guess we could. So I do hear how that reads nicely in the Rambam. A question we could ask then is, what would be the source for that? Meaning, I understood the Rambam to be saying someone who's totally insane, mahalich aru mishaber kelim zorek avonim, right? They're for sure a shota. The Gemara's chiddush is that these other four things, which I had thought were the examples of davar min advarim, also creates a shota. If you say the Rambam means just in conversation, it becomes clear, you know, that they're not medaber v'shoel ke'inyan. So where does he get that from? It's quite a jump to go from the Gemara's examples to that. So, I mean, I think that would be a big chiddush, and I'm not sure what his source would be, but it does fit in nicely to the continuation of the Rambam.
Right, his words, basically.
Yeah, I hear how that reads in nicely. Afal pishu medaber v'shoel ke'inyan b'shar dvarim, but I don't know what the makor for the Rambam then would be. That would be my only question.
I think what Ezra is saying is right, though, because I think one of the reasons we say by a deaf mute is because we don't know whether or not he's a pikeach, because he can't express himself. So I think conversation is important. Is an action.
Like, well, that gets back to what Rabbi Torchiner was saying last time. I really should have learned the Yerushalmi before today's shiur. So I had always understood, and I could be wrong about this, I never learned the Yerushalmi, I don't know the Makoros, but I had always understood that the fact that he's Eino Medaber Veino Shomeya, so that's, you know, what makes him a Shota. Meaning not that we're unsure because he might be a shota and I don't know, because I can't really interact with him, so I can't really figure out if he's a shota or not. I thought that the fact that he's Eino Medaber Veino Shomeya it's not that that prevents us from knowing who he is, it's just that inherently makes him the Chereish. So, but I'm not sure about that. I really should learn that Yerushalmi.
It's part of the discussion, which then that would support what Israel was saying.
Mm-hmm. I hear. I need to learn that Yerushalmi. That's what I need to know. So since we're not going to finish our topic probably this time, maybe we'll continue next time and have time to look at the Yerushalmi. We'll see. Bli neder. I won't accept any bli neder. Fine. Fine. So the Beis Yosef explains why the Rambam says this, why the Rambam expands the Gemara's four cases to anything, b'davar min advarim. So he says, v'nireh I put this Beis Yosef in later. This Ezer pointed out this Beis Yosef to me, so that's why it doesn't have a number. I just added this in yesterday. Beis Yosef says,
17B,
there you have it. So, V'nira Shechrichu Farish Kain, Midechazinon de V'braisa Kamaisa Katoni Tras. So the first Braisa gives three examples. V'ro Katoni Ma'abid Mashinosnimo. And doesn't say a person who loses, right, doesn't give the fourth example, a person who loses everything that's given to him. And the other Braisa does say, it gives this fourth example. And doesn't give the first three examples. If these four examples are specific, only these four examples make a person a shota, so then how come the first Braisa has three, and the other one has the fourth? Now, that question isn't always so strong. Like, the Gemara has an idea, quotes a pasuk, Yagid Alav Rayo, that its friend sort of speaks on its behalf, that sometimes you'll have a list of examples in one case and a list of examples in another case. And the point is, you'll put the two Mishnayos together and you'll figure it out. So, but the Gemara sometimes rejects that suggestion by saying, then why not list them all in one Braisa and just list one in the other Braisa? And that'll be sufficient for Yagid Alav Rayo. But here we did do that, exactly. So we could come back to Yagid Alav Rayo without the question that the Gemara usually asks on it, so I'm not sure how strong this proof of the Beis Yosef is, but anyway, based on that, he says, that these four are just examples. Now, I think he means they're just examples for this for the Rabusa of the Gemara, that even these things qualify as a shota, and these are just examples of that chiddush, that even these mild examples of shtos still qualify as a shota. But the point of the Gemara is not just to give examples of a shota, but I think the Rambam understands the point of the Gemara is to say that even these mild examples still qualify, you know, as criteria for becoming a shota.
So under this heading, there could be other criteria then that could have you declare someone a shota.
Yeah.
So then you've got later the heading of other, like shaloba derech shtos, but if other things can make you not mechayev b'mitzvos or could make you pasul la'edas, since we're not now restricted by the four criteria, why do we need two different headings?
Well, it can be
other psychiatric conditions. So if other examples are included now, why don't we just say they're all under the heading of shota rather than shaloba derech shtos?
Well, it has to be b'derech shtos. I mean, even if there are going to be other examples of what makes a person a shota, they're definitely going to have to be b'derech shtos. I mean, if a person has a logical explanation for why they're doing what they're doing, so then they're not going to be a shota if they do, you know, something other than these four examples. Something other than these four examples can make a person a shota, but it has to be b'derech shtos. Yeah. Fine, so just to finish up this Beis Yosef, v'hach b'raisa nakta hanach adugma, v'idach b'raisa nakta haf, each b'raisa chose different examples, v'zeh shalo k'divri Rabbeinu Simcha shekasafti b'simen kuf yotas. So apparently Rabbeinu Simcha holds that the Gemara's four examples are specific, that only these four examples would make a person a shota. That would limit the whole discussion. Unless someone does these four things, they're definitely not a shota. Fine. So this was mentioned earlier. What's the definition of ma'abed mashanos nimlo? So that's a machokas. So the Prisha says here in source 18, emoso so derech shtos, rafukeim horech yechidi mishum eza. Oh, we do have a definition of derech shtos. I didn't even think of learning the Prisha to clarify that. Emoso so derech shtos, rafukeim horech yechidi mishum eza ones. Maybe there's something beyond his control which is causing him to do it. And there was an alternative explanation, a logical alternative explanation. O korek suso be'ez shechlus, or he's tearing his shirt because he's drunk. O ma'abid shalom midas. Or he lost the thing accidentally. So those are the contrasts to derech shtos. Either he's being forced to do it, or he's doing it because he's drunk, or he's doing it accidentally, as opposed to derech shtos, where he's doing it intentionally, nothing's forcing him, he's not drunk. And then the Prisha says, the shota kari shemashlich miyadav. He's only a shota if he intentionally throws it away. So ma'abin mashanos nimlo is mashlich miyadav, according to the Prisha. The Prima Godim argues on that, And the Prima Godim is our big machmir today. He says in source 19, "Umikan tirash ein mefarish kaprisha." At least he's explaining the sheet of the Taz, and he says ma'abit zorek biyada. He doesn't explain that ma'abit like the prisha zorek biyadayim el she'ein meiniach b'makom mishtamer. A person puts something in a place where it's not protected. He puts it in a place where it could easily become lost. And by the way, if you put together the two chumras of the Prima Godim said before the person's a shota even if he does it once. Right? And now, what would come out according to Prima Godin...
Prima Godin said twice. Within the Shach.
Within the Shach, he said twice. But then he brings the Rosh Yosef, who says that Afilu Pam Achas, right, in Source 15, he brings...
Not Medina, he says Nachon L'Achmir.
So it's Nachon L'Achmir that if a person does it once, he's a Shota, and the definition of Ma'abin Mashanosin well is you put something in a place where it's not necessarily protected, where it's likely that it'll become lost. So you put the two Prima Godims together, I don't know if I have a right to give this shir, I'm a Shota. I don't know, it's quite, it would come out as quite a Chumrah. Fine.
So you have an example here is that if you do it be'eis shichrus, so then you won't be classified as a shota. That's interesting too. But if you're shichrus, you still can't be an eidah, right?
Right.
Other
reasons,
you're
possible eidahs,
though.
But once you come out of it, you're
yeah.
back.
Right. I'm just trying to think of how I should do this, because I don't know if I'm... Quickly, to all the Makoros. I'm thinking of just skipping to the last two, because I don't know if I'm going to continue on this topic next week. So I'm just going to skip maybe to the last two sources here on the second page. The ones that are pictures on my phone that I email to myself, or airdrop to myself, now that I learned how to do that. Here in source 26, so this was from Bar Ilan, and it says on the bottom here exactly where it's, which publication it's from. So it's talking about someone with Down syndrome. So he says, "B'she'eros matan ha'ef sharus." I'm not sure how to pronounce this.
Mongoloidism.
Okay, thank you. So lekayim chayim mishpacha. So he's a kind of aviner ha'halacha. Shem he mesugavim lekayim chayim zugiim tzikinim. If they can have a real marriage. So yesh la'odin nisuin. We should encourage it. Kedei vases lefachos as ha'oshev as ha'normalius hazoh hein rabein vehein labas. So we should grant them the opportunity to at least have this simcha and this normalcy, so it's to be encouraged if they're capable of getting married and living a life, a married life, so wonderful. So b'mamar teguva, so the person writing this responded, in response, he's disagreeing with that. So uskanu shava halacha ein shota mekadesh ve'ein shota miskadeshes kafisha nifzak b'ramba metur v'shulchan aruch. When we disagreed on Maskanos of Shaharav Aviner, Mitocha Nacha, Shein Miskeresh Shal Chaye Yishos Ozugios, Kerom Miskeresh Shal Kiddushin Vinisuin Kedas Moshe Yisrael. If you're not going to be able to have a halachically effective Kiddushin, so then you can't get married, without that halachically effective Kiddushin. Yacharim Ha'anacha, Sharubam Shal Pugue Tasmunas Deun, Dinam Keshotim, Down syndrome, I just don't know how to pronounce it in Hebrew. I don't know how they say it in Hebrew. They also say down? Thank you. So Dinam Keshotim Ha'alacha. So he says that the people with Down syndrome are considered to be a shotim lahalacha, but then he qualifies that and says later on in the article, Nizkor ki hanosea mikori shel hadiyun kan hu nisuin lefgui tismonas down. Ulam also rishkoach shekayomim sugim shonim shel tismonas down. There are different types of Down syndrome, different degrees on the spectrum, I guess. Ve'en ledamos mikra mikra, you can't compare two different cases. And then he goes on to say that even though the way that we take that our medicine has improved, nonetheless he argues under Avinir, and he says that he still thinks that people with Down syndrome should not be encouraged to get married. So it seems like that becomes a machokas here when it comes to people with Down syndrome, whether or not we should encourage or not encourage them to get married. The Nishmas Avram, thank you Jeffrey for pointing this out to me, the Nishmas Avram says, talking in general about defining a shota based on the various illnesses that we have nowadays. He says, it's hard to define exactly what constitutes as das. It's hard to put that in writing. So, it's hard to define what exactly is a shota. I feel bad, like this year is going to be like a letdown. Here we are expecting to get the exact definition of a shota bizman hazeh, what qualifies, what doesn't qualify. The Nishmas Avram, who's the best person to turn to on this, right? He says it's tough to define what exactly is a shota. At what stage is a person considered a shota and pater? If someone is absolutely right a shota, so then it's easy lahagdir oso kashota. Ach begar ha-migvan ha-rachav shal macharoste kiatrios im komine tzuros shal hisnagu yos, people with all different types of psychiatric illnesses, with different types of ways people conduct themselves. Shagam ha-ruos lishtanos mizman rizman, even within the same person it can change from one time to another. It could be that it will change within one person, you know, naturally or as a result of being taken care of. So chayovim radon al kol mikra mikra benifrad, we have to investigate each case independently. Together with a partnership between the doctors and the poskim. So every case has to be assessed independently. So I'm sorry for the letdown, but we can't define exactly what a shota is bizman hazeh. But at least now we have the background.